So you're created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God's workmanship. So that's why I'm saying by design, you're meant to be. You're meant to be powerful in your relationship with Jesus. Above everything else, when we talk about this prayer manual, that's the relationship. You want that. You want to walk with God. You want to talk to Him. You want to know Him. And that's a demonstration of our love. It's a demonstration and evidence that we're born again in the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of adoption inside. We cry out, Abba, Father. And so there's worship, there's joy. That's why you're going to see in this prayer manual, this work book that we have, that we give some of the teaching, then we begin with preparation. Well, you know what it means? This is one of the most important things you're going to do every day. This means that intervention today can occur. Answers today can occur. It also means that nothing may occur. If no one prays, there's no answers. If no one asks, there's nothing. And so this entire day before, that's why I encourage constantly, you're going to hear me say, have your a dedicated time in the morning, 20 minutes, a half hour to begin with at least. And some can have an hour. And yes, more important than smartphones and TVs and all the other things, you can get to all that stuff, lesser stuff later. We're talking about meeting with God, a dedicated time. So if you're on page 7 of that workbook, you are looking at becoming powerful in prayer. We already did that one. And becoming powerful in witness. Now, the two go hand in hand. If you're, if you're saved, born in the Spirit of God, you love Jesus, you're under His Lordship, you're standing up to launch out in obedience, well, that involves the Great Commission. We're commanded to go into all the world and make disciples. We're commanded in Mark's Gospel 16:20, go preach the good news, this great gospel, this brilliant gospel. Take this message of Jesus and all that He is, take it to every single human being, every creature. We're commanded to do this. Let me make it very clear. Not to do this is a sin. We're not doing what God has said. That's why I'm going to say again, mission is not based on what we come up with. It's under the Lordship of Jesus. What is it God wants? What is it God wills? Now, in the context, do I have things I want to pray for? Sure. Even in the prayer they call the disciples' prayer, our Father in heaven, we set aside to worship, acknowledge, and holy and just awe-striking in our fellowship in worship. And then we intercede. We intercede for many other people, and we need to pray for other people and so forth. And we ask for God's kingdom to be, in God's will, to be advanced, to advance that mission and that will of God. Now, as you read the entire disciples' prayer, is included in that as your daily bread, you pray for things in your own life. And so I want you to know that that's important for you too. I'm going to tell you right now as a pastor, I have, and everybody, and pastors, let me just make it very clear. Pastors, you can only take people as far as you are. You love Jesus, you love the Word, you obeying the Word. Listen, pastors, if anybody's going to be very powerful in prayer, usually when you see a local church powerful in prayer, really expressive in prayer, and the church, a whole church is praying, and there's answers all over the place, well, because the pastors are too, and the leadership. Leadership leads the way in this. And so it's very important that every leader know that you're designed for this, you're meant for this. And you see this in the book of Acts where leaders, they'd separate to focus on the Word of God and prayer, prayer and the Word. And that prayer and the Word always move then to evangelism. We have a mission. Let me say to every pastor, every leader, every theologian, every Bible scholar, every single believer, we already have a mission. We don't have to sit back in a church and say, what are we going to do? What kind of church do we want to be? What is it? All of a sudden we're going to come together and come up with something better than God? Listen, that's why the loss of manifest presence and manifest power and answers all over the place, that's why there's such a lack. And we've got to recognize the subnormal church is the prayerless church, the powerless church, where a lot of things are not happening. And half the people are showing up, and most of them are bored. And that's not meant to be that way. So we got to stop immediately in our individual lives. Stop. And that's the Church of Sardis. Once alive, but it became dead. Where are you at? Truly, we're alive or dead. Dead evidence of a local church or believers dead. No manifest presence, no manifest power, no works of Jesus being done. Nobody getting saved, no answers to prayer coming, nobody getting healed, nobody getting delivered. All the things Jesus is and does, all that he did, you're going to see that in the book of Acts. All the Spirit-filled believers were in mission, in evangelism. It's the Mark chapter 16, verse 20. Those disciples, they went out everywhere evangelizing, you know, preaching the gospel, sharing Jesus. And the Lord worked with them. Guess who's here? Can I tell you something that in 40 years of doing evangelism, seeing thousands individually on the streets, outside of bars, universities, of course, in the meetings, the crowds, and the churches and all the other places, conferences. See, the truth is you can witness anywhere. You can witness to the lady working at the hotel. You can witness to the guy at the gas station. You know, if you set out to do what God said to do, since it's God's design, since God backs it, since God empowers it, since Christ will be all over it, it is the most exciting place to be on the field of human history, seeking to share the gospel and seeking to win souls. So again, you could put in the Great Commission here today, Matthew 28, or Mark's Gospel 16:20 is the example. Everything you see in that one verse will become a reality to you if you do this. Being, again, born of the Spirit of God, loving Christ, stepping out in obedience to all of the Word of God and to the Great Commission. You know, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. You're going to receive power of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, so that you become witnesses of Jesus. So you become the dunamis, the expressed power of God, liberates you, moves you, frees you, pours in the fire, the passion, the love to go reach everybody. It's out of obedience. You know, if I'm out witnessing, sharing, and I take teams out, of all these years we've done that, taking brand new believers many times, never knowing how to do things, but teach a little bit, take them on the field, and begin to do this. I'm going to say this, any believer looks up at Jesus, looks at the basics of Scripture, looks how they evangelize, know that you're called to do that too, to win souls, and you want to win souls. I'm going to tell you this, God backs that as the primary mission on the planet. When one soul gets saved, what does the Bible teach? All the angels, all of heaven rejoices. It's a good thing. And praying for the lost is a constant thing, but prayer and action in evangelism go hand in hand. God didn't say just pray. He said go. We're to go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in. And so let me tell you something. I think a great example of this is Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus, the bad guy, gets powerfully saved by Jesus, and he gets filled with the Spirit of God. And in Acts 9, the first thing he begins to do is to preach Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Savior. He begins to unleash Jesus. And guess what happens in that chapter? When he steps out in obedience to the Word to be a witness of Jesus, a soul winner for Jesus, he becomes more and more powerful. Because all of that is within him and upon him begins to become through him. All of a sudden, the experience of Mark 16:20 becomes a reality. You know, over all these years, it's not to those who are not witnesses. I don't look to those who are not witnesses, who are not winning souls, who are not experienced in this area. I've always looked to those who are effective in this. So when you look at the book of Acts, number one, I mean, you look at Jesus. He came to seek and save that which is lost, obviously. As he's been sent, he says, we're now sent. If you look at the Great Commission, you look at Mark 16:20, we're sent. If you look at the end of Luke in reference to the power of the Spirit of God, power from on high, and look at Acts 1:8, the promise of power. And when you're clothed with power, and you're filled with power, look at the book of Acts. 11 times, people filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with power. In every case, they became soul winners. Being a witness in the biblical New Testament sense is a soul winner. I want to give you, if you'll mark down under number 2 on page 7, becoming very powerful in witness to Jesus, becoming a soul winner. And let me give you a resource if you ever want to buy it. You can probably get it on Amazon or wherever. It's called The Golden Path to Successful Soul Winning by John R. Rice. Now, I'm saying at least get a hold of the book. I've used it again and again and again and again, gave probably 50 copies away over the years. Many of the trainings I did years and years ago with, 10, 20, 30 in a training class, I use that. Every time I reread that book, I'm inspired to get up and go soul winning. I'm going to say that he who wins souls is wise, as Scripture says. I'm also going to give you 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and I belong to no man, I make myself a doulos, a slave, to every single human being, basically. That's what it's saying. I'm free from everybody. I'm not anybody's slave. I'm not under compulsion. I'm not paid by somebody to do this. I mean, the lost are not paying for me to come to them. No. I make myself a personal servant to the lost that I might win poloi, meaning winning the most. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever led somebody to Jesus? Have you ever wanted to? I know a story of a guy down south that he led his friend to Christ. He brought him to church, and during the invitation where the preacher's inviting people to come to Christ, this guy sat there and wept. He prayed for his friend. He put his hand on his friend and prayed for him to be saved. Not too long ago, my wife and I were visiting a church in Nashville on the way home. We were leaving Nashville on the way home. We thought, we're going to go stop on Sunday morning, this local church. It was packed out, totally packed out. Man, the songs they sang, it's like God's presence was everywhere. And my wife and I kept looking at each other. We didn't have our Bibles unpacked. We just had to walk in. People were welcoming us left and right, saying hello. When it came to the preacher preaching the Word of God, people handed us their own Bibles to use. When it finally came to the invitation time, here we are, saved people. Here we are, soul winners ourselves. And as we're standing there at the invitation, somebody pulls on my shoulder. I turn around. I'm going to guess she's 85 years old. And the sweetest little eyes looking at me, the presence of Jesus all over her. And she says, "Sir, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior?" She was seeking to witness to me. I turned around and I just said to her, looked at her with a big smile, my eyes teared up. I said, "Ma'am, I know Jesus. He is my Savior and Lord. And my wife here, she's saved. She knows Jesus. But thank you so much." And she was so glad. Now, we were walking out the door. The second set of doors going out. And somebody else stopped us. It's like they didn't want anybody to go out of there unless they knew they were saved. They were soul-minded. They were filled with love. They were filled with passion. They were all about it. I don't know how anybody could go there and not get saved. That's how every local church should be. It's the mission of God. The mission is inseparable from power. If you want to be clothed and filled with manifest power of the Spirit of God, you got to surrender today. Maybe the subnormal church didn't lead you this way, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell you that's what Jesus intends. I'm going to tell you that's what God wills. For you and I to surrender our lives and say, "Here am I, God. I am here to become strong and powerful in my relationship to Jesus. And powerful in prayer, and also powerful in my soul winning. From this day forward, I'm a soul winner the rest of my life. From this day forward, I'm going to seek to win souls. From this day forward, I'm going to write down in a prayer list here all the names of my family and extended family and friends around me and everyone the Spirit of God reminds me of. And I'm going to write all their names down. I'm going to begin to pray for them all the way through. And I'm going to be seeking the salvation of all of my family, all of my good relationships are not family. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's, but what are you here for? Sinners are sinners. Sinners are lost. Sinners act like sinners. You're here as a believer, forgiven, empowered, new life, powerful in your prayers over them. See, if you take time You're getting ready to go soul winning on a Friday night or Saturday afternoon. So you take about an hour, and you guys are all praying and praying and praying over all that you're going to do, praying for all the people, and then you launch out. I'm going to tell you, constantly, in the context of visiting people, visiting homes, knowing the people we're going to, God, there's always somebody else to meet. There's always somebody else we meet down the hallway, somebody else outside the apartment complex, somebody else out on the street, somebody at the gas station, somebody at the 7-Eleven. Again and again, it is powerful, active soul winners that signs and wonders, healings, deliverances, miraculous things, providential leadings occur. I mean, look at Cornelius in the scripture, and he's seeking, and he hasn't heard the gospel yet, and he's a God-fearer, and he wants, and God arranges. There's Peter, you know, praying, and God engages him in a vision and reminds him about the gospel going to everybody. And just as God reminds him the gospel is for all, knock comes on the door. God is so good at this providence, how he sets things up. He will set you up effectively to win souls. If you're an active soul winner, see, when I hear individual believers sit back and say, well, if God wants me to witness, he'll tell me. No, you're disobedient. You're sluggish. You know, God already did that. Are you not obeying scripture? The word of God already says this, that we're to go and make disciples, that we're go to preach the gospel to everyone. We're commanded to go to the highways and byways. Pastors and leaders in your local churches, every apartment complex, every neighborhood, thousands of houses need to be visited, every single place, highways and byways, under the bridge, wherever, everywhere. Soul winning. I will say after 40 years or so of soul winning, I look forward to it. Everything, when I take teams out, when I talk about this on the radio and other places, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm hyped up about it because I know how God leads. I know we're going out to win souls. I know our intent is going to go out. I'm going to say this, anybody that wants to win souls, every believer that wants to win souls, and you go out to do that, you're going to win souls. You're going to see God's power. You're going to be guided. Like Acts chapter 8, when the Spirit of God, here's Philip out there running to witness. He's out there soul winning in dark, demonized cities. Look what happened in Acts chapter 8. By one singular, spirit-filled, powerful believer charging into the demonized city, the whole city is turned upside down. The demon-possessed get saved, and demons go out screaming. People get healed. Many people get saved. The whole city now is full. The entire atmosphere of the city changes. Do you understand how powerful you are in Christ? Do you understand that as we, listen, we receive it all by faith, we manifest it all in obedience. And when any local church, when they get the majority of their people involved in evangelism, a lot of ways to do that. Setting up monthly friend-to-friend day, setting up teams that are out every single, you know, eventually a church can get to where people meet at 11 o'clock, they pray it up, and then they go out for the next 2 hours. And go out seeking to win souls. If you're going to go visit people at the hospital, win out. There's other people that's lost, the person next to the person you're visiting. You got to be soul-winning minded, soul-winning. That's why I'm going to encourage you again, get a whole, I mean, read the book of Acts and see it. If you want something to read to inspire you, give you some really good overall teaching, a book by John R. Rice, The Golden Path to Successful Soul Winning. It was one of the best ones I still know, and I got probably a lot. But I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to experience, like with Philip, the Spirit of God said, go over in there and stand by that guy. There's times the Spirit of God will just, you know, when you're out soul winning, go over there to that apartment complex. Go over there to that person. He'll remind you what person to go visit that night. There's so much activity that will occur. Now, of course, the devil's going to try to stop you. Well, God's going to deal with him, and you're going to be led in, as Paul writes, that he always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us everywhere spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God in salvation. So in my prayer workbook, it's a kind of book of Acts, it's kind of a journal. I'm going to write down all the names I can under souls. I'm going to pray in general for all the souls around us to be saved. I'm going to pray for souls to be saved today. I'm going to pray for the names of my family members. And in my life, Dad finally got saved after 23 years. Mom got saved. Grandma Dizdar got saved. Grandma Barstow got saved. Aunt Eleanor got saved. Aunt Verona got saved. And I can go on and on. My little brother got saved. And there's others. And I've got names that are on that list that have been there for years. I'm not going to give up. If I ever have definitively given to me by the Spirit of God not to go here, not to go there, I won't. You're going to see that in the book of Acts where the Spirit of God stopped them from going to Bithynia or Malaysia. And instead, though, that night they got a visionary call to go to Macedonia. It wasn't that he was stopping them from witnessing. He was orchestrating them to go to the, you know, main place, the place of great need, the place where it would occur. I want to be led by the Spirit of God to those who are even, there's even people waiting. I mean, waiting. Nobody gets saved without hearing the gospel. Romans 10, right? How can they believe on whom they've not heard? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God, hearing that gospel. It is the power of God. Listen, let me encourage you. There's no greater Savior. The story of him, the life of him, his birth, his growing, his everything, everything he did, his words, his works, and the cross where he shed blood as the innocent Son of God, this is the Savior of the world. He's the hero of humanity. He wills that none should perish. And we're called, this is above all governments. This is above all politics. This is above everything else in life. This is above careers and education and whatever else. This mission of God that none should perish, and the joy in all of heaven when one even gets saved. We're here, and we should be leaving in the darkest days of history for tens worldwide of hundreds of millions yet to get saved. And you're going to become that powerful soul winner. You got to be thinking in terms of hundreds in your life. You're going to lead hundreds to Jesus, if not thousands, and participate in your church, participate in meetings, be a part of a team. And I'm going to tell you right now, you'll never, ever regret becoming a powerful, effective, fruitful soul winner for Jesus. I've never met a soul winner filled with the Spirit of God, winning others to Christ. I've never met a depressed one. I always meet happy ones. I always meet those who are telling stories and how God did this and how God did that, how God healed that person, then they got saved, how that demonized little girl on the street, the demon was cast out, and then she got saved, and how that whole family was led to Christ, and college campuses and schools, how movements can start. And that involves revival. And when I pray revival, I'm praying for tens of thousands to get saved. I'm praying for the church to get woke up. I'm praying for millions to get saved. I'm telling you what, I'm after that. In my life and what I do, on a personal level, on the ministry level, a local church I'm part of, and anybody that we team up with along the way, soul winning, evangelism, the mission of Jesus is the central thing I am here and here to do. So you're meant to be a soul winner. And you can. Every single believer called by God to do so, empowered and clothed with power from on high. Listen, here's how you can do this. Lord Jesus, I'm going to come before you. I'm going to repent of all sin in my life and anything that grieves the Spirit of God, anything that obstructs me. I renounce Satan and anything and everything that's entangling me. I'm going to renounce the world and all of it taking my time. And right now, I'm renouncing every sin and everything you want me to set aside. And now I'm going to yield my life, Jesus. Under your lordship, I'm going to step out in obedience to the word of God. And I'm here now to become a soul winner, to win others to Jesus. As it is the most, it is your heart, it is your life, it is why you came, Lord Jesus. This is what I want to do. And this is what I'm going to obey in the Great Commission. Now, Father, clothe me and so fill me and so saturate me with the power of the Holy Spirit. I accept, and right now, the clothing and power by faith alone, I accept the full power and manifestation of the Holy Spirit in all of your works and all that's going to come through in Jesus' name. Now, write that list. Now, pray for those souls. If you're praying for souls, you want souls to get saved. And if you're praying for souls, you launch out and begin to witness. Don't wait for everybody else to. You're the soul winner. You're the witness. You can do it. And when you do, remember Mark or Acts 9, you'll become even more and more powerful. You can do that. The main mission of God and the power and the miracles and the signs and the wonders in the book of Acts are all centered around the work of evangelism and soul winning. If you get a chance, John R. Rice, The Golden Path to Successful Soul Winning. I pray that God right now, clothing you, refreshing you, pouring out upon you and all through you, the manifest power, dunamis of God, to be the soul winner that God intends you to be. God bless you. See you in the next audio.